Good morning. It is Thursday the 11th. How are we doing? How's it going? If I'm reporting on how I'm doing pretty well. Feel great today. Another run this morning. Trying to get back into it. Trying to get really focused on my exercising. Nothing serious. No Olympics, no marathons, no triathlons, just a simple little run, 5 miles. I ran Sunday, rode my bike Monday, ran Tuesday, ran Wednesday, ran Thursday. Tomorrow we're going to ride a bike. I have a young son, Sam, who's 9, and you know, going through this whole COVID thing and stuff, it stressed me out because there's not a lot for the kids to do when they're not going to school. There's not a lot of options. I mean, it's hot. It's gotten hot, but it was up until really recently, it was not that great. It's so funny how weather, you know, it's if it's a little cool, it's too cold. It's a little hot, too hot. But how if it's really cold, I wish it was just kind of cold. And then I'd be outside all the time. I'd be spending all my time outside. It's just too cold, and it's always some excuse I have. So I decided that my oldest son, he went to go stay up with his mom for the week or for the summer. And I told Sam, you know, it's time to get back to getting to being active. You know, I've always felt like we were an active family, whether we're out taking pictures or running or riding bikes or, you know, we used to go down to the beach every morning and take pictures of the sunrise, and I'd drag them along. And so we've always tried to get out and do stuff, but this whole, you know, this COVID-19 thing has kind of put a damper on it. So I told him, I said, he came back this past Monday. I said, starting Monday, we're going to get up. You know, we're getting up. We're going to go for a run. I mean, he rides his bike. I run. And luckily, we're blessed to live by an area where we can ride and run, and it's no traffic. It's all, you know, state park, and you know, just other than avoiding other bikers and runners, it's pretty safe. So I said we're going to get back into being active, and so we've done it. We've been getting up in the morning. I run with my buddy Carlos on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We usually run at 6:37, so he got up at 6:45. I run with my buddy James on Wednesdays. Him and I like to run at 6. So I had to get him up at 5:45. This morning we ran at 7, so I got to get up a little. We got to sleep in a little bit, but it's been good. You know, it's hard for me. It's been tough to get the kids to go to bed. I have no real reason why they have to. It's almost like it's super summer or something. So I said, you know, we need to get some exercise in so that, you know, when it's time to go to bed, you're tired instead of really have done nothing. So that's been good. It feels good. It feels good to exercise. Yesterday I was whooped. Hold on, I gotta get my seltzer. Hold on a second. Ugh. Oh, seltzer. Yeah, yesterday I was whooped. It all came crashing down yesterday, and I actually had to take a nap in the middle of the day. I was like, I got to take a nap. I just need to lay down, and I did for a little bit, maybe a half hour, and I felt better. So, you know, there's my wife and I were talking about the hungry, angry, lonely, tired. It's amazing how that definitely plays a role in my life today. And I was tired and I was worn out and I couldn't really keep a thought. My mind was kind of racy, and you know, I just needed to take a nap. And sometimes, unfortunately, when I'm getting into kind of this, you know, because I you know, we're coming out of winter, I haven't really been doing much, put on some weight, feel kind of shitty. So I'm trying to watch what I eat, and sometimes that is a whole another department of madness when it comes to me and food. You know, it's weird. You know, if I always say if the way my body works, I compare it to, you know, a little house with a person that lives in it. And every day somebody came by and brought you a loaf of bread, you know, my body would eat it. You know, we'd eat it because we know more bread's coming, and we'd eat it and we burn it. But when I get like this, I'm more like a guy living in a house when somebody comes by with a loaf of bread every week, where I just eat half and then my body stores it. And sometimes I think the less I eat, the better I'm doing for myself, when in turn I'm really kind of starving myself. So then I put on different, more weight, and I'm working out, but I'm not eating, so I'm putting on weight. And the weight is just my body storing because it thinks I'm starving, and it's just, it's fucking crazy. And so I'm trying to, that was a whole different tunnel I went down a few months back. So now I'm really trying to have some breakfast and some lunch and some dinner and just exercise and, you know, just start trying to find some normalcy again. And it's been feeling good. And it's been great to have Sam ride with me. And it's just, you know, another one of those, you know, gifts of sobriety. You know, if I wouldn't have gotten sober, I wouldn't have any of this. I wouldn't have Sam for sure. I'd be that guy. That guy.
I was a loner, cruising with the wind. I wasn't looking when you pulled me in. I had to leave you like I.
Here I come again. How many times have you been sitting around and your addiction shows back up? And what brings it back, right? I mean, that's, you know, I had a conversation with my dad and we were talking about arrogance. And I was telling him about my buddy Matt, how he said, you know, guys like you and me are arrogant. And how I laughed. And then I was like, well, what's that mean? He goes, rules don't apply to you and me. And I tried to explain that to my dad. He goes, I don't get that. That's, what do you mean rules don't apply? And I go, you know, it's kind of just a, it's just kind of a, you know, a phrase. You know, it's, I always say my life is, the level of my arrogance is based on my conveniences, I guess. You know, if everything's going my way, everything's smooth, I'm super humble, I'm super grateful, letting, you know, like if I'm at a stop sign and there's cars coming, you know, I'll wave them in. You go ahead. You know, everything's great. But man, if I start running late or the kids are running late or things aren't going smoothly, like today, you know, I got here and I realized I forgot my phone. Now everything's an inconvenience. Now I've got to run back to the house. My whole plan is now out the window. And now I can start to feel this uneasy feeling, you know? Now I'll probably, when I go get my phone, I'll probably speed. You know, if the light turns yellow, I'll run it. You know, if somebody wants to get in, I won't let them. You know, all of a sudden I become arrogant. Now the kind rules that I was living by on my way here are out the window, and now arrogance shows up. Then I'm not as pleasant. And I'm inconvenienced. And, you know, that's great. That's fine. But, you know, those are the kind of things that start to... Then you slide into victim mode. God damn it. why me? God damn it. I really planned. I really, you know, tried to make everything perfect. And it just keeps happening to me. And now all of a sudden you're a victim. And resentment shows up, justification, and Smirnoff. That's kind of a quick fast track, but that's kind of how it ends up happening. And, you know, I was trying to explain to him, you know, the 12 steps of AA, at least, they're really life. It's really about life. You know, I got myself in such a drinking jam that I had to address it. And that's the only kind of program that would work for a guy like me, is to understand that drinking isn't really the problem. It's just a byproduct. It's me. And I need to work on me, or that byproduct, whether it's drinking or all the other shit that shows up, will show up. And if I haven't been working out, if I haven't been exercising, if I haven't been, you know, learning and suffering by going to meetings, I'm not healthy. And then I get attacked, you know, I get a flu, a drinking flu. And it could kill me. I was telling my dad, I said, I think half the problem that we have in this country is that we started a war on drugs. The war on drugs, I think, has created half the issues that, I don't know the percent, but I just feel like it created a lot of problems. He's like, so what do you think, drugs should be legal? I said, absolutely, every drug. Why not? You know, if someone wants to drink, I mean, they're allowed to. Someone wants to snort cocaine, why not? Same rules. Got to be 21. You can't snort and drive. You can't snort in public. You can't carry your snort around in a red cup publicly. Can't snort at a concert. But if you want to sit in your house and snort cocaine till your eyes fall out, why not, right? Just don't make any trouble. Can't sell it. Same rules that apply to alcohol. You know, anybody that, like, gets upset about the idea of legalizing drugs, just look at alcohol. I told my dad, I said, look, I've done it all. I've tried everything. Nothing ground me into the ground worse than alcohol did. It's like, it's the worst. You know, I mean, I was big into speed. I mean, speed wrecked my life, but it was just because it's just a lifestyle that you just can't sustain. Can't continue that lifestyle. It's just, it's crazy. And definitely don't recommend it. But it didn't wreck my life like alcohol did. I've done pills. I had an addiction to pain pills. You know, but that started to undermine my sobriety. And then I ended up drinking really because of that. I mean, look, I don't, you know, I'm not sure many people can legally snort cocaine and have a life. I don't know if that would really work. So maybe, you know, you can't legalize cocaine. But, you know, the point is that, you know, alcohol does just as much damage and it's legal. It's just that they figured out a way to make money on it. I think, you know, the war on drugs has created this, you know, these cartels and these all this crazy shit that goes on down in the you know, Mexico, and you know, these people are wanting to leave Mexico to come here because they're in fear of their life because of the stuff that goes on with the drug cartels. And, you know, that's just all based around the war on drugs. It's just my thought. I'm not sure how we would change it. I think we're too far into it now, but I don't know. I know there's nothing that can make me drink today. Nothing can make me use drugs today. I'm just super grateful that I'm alive. And I was thinking yesterday about, you know, I talked a little bit about the second step, you know, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could return us to sanity. I was like, what is sanity? I know. Doing the same thing over, expecting different results, is the definition of insanity. So, bringing us from that, Or is it as far as alcohol? Because, I mean, even though I don't drink, I still, you know, I do still feel like I can get into some insane feelings and some insane thoughts with relationships, with food, with money. You know, I'll buy something and then I'll talk myself, you know, hey, listen, you've had some extra business. It'll be easy to pay off. And then I don't choose to pay it off. And just because I'm not going to pay it off, I'm not going to use the extra money like I already knew. And then I have a little bit more credit card debt. And then all of a sudden I'm like, why did you do that? You knew this was going to happen. So I guess what I'm saying is that I need to use this program in all aspects of my life. You know, came to believe in a power greater than myself to restore, came to believe that a power greater than myself could help restore us to sanity. I think for me, this step was really just about the praying and turning it over and trusting, faith, all those things. You know, when I can say, oh my God, look what I've done. And I can pray about it and turn it over and just really recognize it and hopefully not do it again. You know, I've gotten a lot better about spending money. Well, that was the other thing. You know, before I was sober, I really didn't have any money. So when I got sober, I was able to get a decent job, get an education, get a career, get some money. Then you start like, hey, start buying some stuff. Then you get a little wrapped up in that. Then you have to address that. You know, I started eating a lot early on. And then I can get crazy into exercising. You know, what is my purpose, you know, with exercising? I want to be healthy, right? But, I mean, you know, freak, how healthy do I want to be? You know, I always say, there was a time a few years ago I was running every day, and someone asked me, oh, are you still running every day? I said, no, I'm happy now. When I was running every day like that, I was so unhappy. I was unhappy with me. I was unhappy with the relationship that I was in. I was unhappy with the way that I had been that created the relationship that I was in. I had a lot of resentments. I wasn't honest. You know, instead of like checking in and having conversations and discussing things that were bothering me, you know, I let them become resentments and I just let them fester, and then I just, you know, I check out. So what did I do? I turned to running and exercising and trying to be something other than the person that I was being, or at least trying to put a better veneer, better fit, better look on the trash that was inside at the time. And, you know, I have to be careful with that. Strange. Yeah, I love that step, you know, came to believe. It didn't happen overnight. And no one could come up and say, listen, man, this isn't going to happen overnight. Take your time. Just have faith. It just doesn't work like that. You have to kind of live it. You hope that you can get through it and have some success when that finally does show up. But I will tell you one thing that running has done for me is exposed a lot of stuff about me. You know, it exposed the self-centered world that I live in, the self-centered fear world that I live in, how much self-centered fear that I'm in all the time. And, you know, running, you know, because running sucks. I mean, if anybody runs, yeah, we love it, of course, but it sucks. I mean, I got up this morning, oh, I did not want to run. You know, that's why I make commitments with other people to do it, because left to me, I might skip. And I didn't want to, and it, you know, the first mile, I'm just, my body hurts. I mean, I'm 51. I feel it. I feel every, you know, every step. It was hot. It was humid. But it really starts exposing, you know, the true me. You know, that fear, you know, just melts away. And then it just starts letting me be me, which is, you know, I think I'm an artist. I'm a musician. I love mindfulness. I love spirituality. You know, I run to this bridge every morning. And when I get to the bridge, it's just so beautiful. And I feel like at that moment that I'm really capable of doing anything I want. You know? I know today's going to be a great day. You know, all the self-centered fear is gone. And that's kind of how meetings work. You know, I always, when I first got sober, I'd go to a meeting. As soon as I walked in the meeting, I felt better. I'd be like, oh my God, thank you. But, you know, up until that point, I was doing what I wanted, right? I was serving me, self-serving. Sitting on the couch, watching TV, whatever it is. And then, you know, 8 o'clock would roll around and be like, hey, I got to go to a meeting. I don't really want to go. I'm just chilling in the couch, relaxing. But I need to go. All right, I'll be back. So you get in the car. Now I'm doing what I need to do, not what I want to do. Instantly starts creating humility. You know, I got to park, walk in. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is. Sit there for an hour. Listen. You know, read the steps. Oh, do we have to read? Do we have to read the steps? You know, can we read the short version? Or do we have to read, you know, the traditions? Can't we just read the one for the month? Then you go to that meeting where they read the whole thing. You're like, oh, brother. Because I'm now inconvenienced. It's not what I want to do. I'm doing something that I don't want to do. And that's go to a meeting. But I tell you what, then all of a sudden you start thinking, am I going to share? What am I going to say? I want to save the room with one thing that I say. I want to say something so profound. Everybody goes, oh my God, that was amazing. I'm like, well, I'm not going to be able to say that, so I'm not going to say anything. Or, oh, I've been sharing too much. Or I share the same thing. I mean, it's just all this self-centered fear comes creeping in. Don't do it. My name's Tom. I'm an alcoholic. Oh my God, I spoke. Just want to check in, you know. Then you know, that's all I got. Thank you. And then you're done. And this wave of peacefulness comes over you. Meeting's over. You know, you chat a bit. Then you get back, you know, going home. And man, you feel great. Feel so much better. You suffered. That's how running is. You know, I start off, I'm not going to be able to run. I'm already saying, you know, I'm going to figure out where I can. I think I'm going to walk some today. You know, I'm already making up excuses. And then I get to running and I just grind through it. And then by the time, you know, it's all done, I'm, you know, we're hugging and, you know, thank you, brother. I appreciate it, man. It's just, it's, you know, it just kills that self-centered fear. I always say if going to a meeting is better than what you were doing prior to going to the meeting, then you didn't go to a meeting. You went to a social event. You know, there's something to the suckiness of going to meetings. I mean, if you love all the meetings you go to, you need to find some other meetings that are annoying. You know, it's easy to go to meetings you love. That's fun. You know, when I first came in, I got signed up to make the coffee. That exposed a whole bunch of shit to me, too. Had to make the best coffee. Had to be, is it good, guys? Mm-hmm, it's good. Is it pretty real good? It's real good. Okay. You know, like I needed to be, I needed praise about my coffee making. I was so deficient in that kind of shit. And, you know, today it's just coffee, you know. Something, you know, now a coffee commitment keeps me going to a meeting. Because this long into being sober and, you know, headed to meetings isn't on the top of my list. I've been there. I've done that. And then finally, the end, it says, you know, having finished all these steps, your real only job is to be there for the next person. Shit, I'm still got to be here? I'm still in here? have the handout for the next person. Damn it. So this is for life. It's always exposing different parts of me, and it's, you know, it's tough. But I feel great today. You know, I did run, and I'm tired, but I feel good, and just really grateful. If anybody doesn't run and wish they did, my suggestion is to make little goals. You know, when I started running in 1999, the same year that I quit smoking. And, you know, if I said, oh, yeah, I quit smoking and I started running, I wanted to be healthy. No, I just wanted to meet better chicks. I mean, let's be honest. It's always about the chicks, right? And, but that's how I quit smoking. I quit smoking and I started running. And believe me, a guy that smoked cigarettes, smoked weed, smoked speed, smoked goddamn everything, my lungs weren't in the best shape. So I started with walking, and I was out of shape, overweight, pretty gross. You know, I had abused my vehicle. I was not taking care of the vehicle that I was so kindly given, and it was pretty fucked up. So I started walking, and then I would say, I'm going to just run to that tree, and then I can walk the rest. I don't even care. And I would run to that tree, and then the next time I would say, I'm just going to run to that tree, and I'm going to try to go 5 steps farther. And then the next time I'm just try to run to the corner, and then I'll walk the rest, no big deal. And I started to feel a little bit better and started to get some great results. My body wants to be healthy. I think our bodies want to be healthy. If we give it the right thing, you know, exercise, the good food and stuff like that, and a lot of water. And you know, I just started to be able to run. And I've been running, you know, ever since. And the other thing I also have to make sure is I you know, like, if I run 5 miles, I want to run 6. You know, I always want to keep being or looking better. So I have to make a rule. I only do 5 miles, maybe 5.5, maybe 5, maybe close to 6. I mean, prior to, you know, a couple years ago, I was doing, you know, 7, 8, 9. But then all of a sudden now that becomes like, now I got to do 9 miles. Oh, fuck it. I'm not running today. I'm not up for nine. But if I keep it at 5 miles, I have a 5-mile loop that I run. It's not that bad. I can do it. Maybe not every day, but I can do it 3 or 4 days out of the week. It's not a huge, you know, burden to think about. And, you know, it's just, it keeps me in it. You know, I have to recognize, listen, keep it simple, Tom, because you will fuck it up. And it's good, you know, I think I have to do that with a lot of stuff. I do it with my work. You know, don't overdo it. You know, don't take on too many clients. You'll just be aggravated. You know, keep it simple. They'll be here, you know, spread it out. And works good for me. So listen, I'm just sharing some stuff. I hope people are maybe listening, getting something out of it. I don't know. I wish I could just get into the big book, but I don't want to get upset. I don't want people to get upset at me about that. So I may talk a little bit about steps, but this is really my life after getting sober. And I didn't know what to expect my life to be when I got sober. I didn't expect it to be this amazing. And this, you know, just me sharing my stories of the ups and downs of a living a sober life.
About it anymore. Yes.
Hope everyone has a great day. Enjoy Thursday. Bye-bye.